Good morning, little Saigon and places between this place and other places. It might be places you've never been before because you can't afford to go there. It is Thursday, October the 3rd, 2019, and I'm going to do something a little bit dangerous. I'm going to say the phrase dirty bomb. I just said dirty bomb. Holy crap, did that set off any alarms at the National Security Agency? Hey, did you see that dirty bomb I bought on eBay? Yeah, the dirty bomb. There's a lot of wishful thinking in the world of Trumpville, and some evidence of a kind of strange authenticity. I say strange authenticity because I just am not convinced. Y'all remember George W. Bush and his compassionate conservatism? I know the prisoners at Abu Ghraib understood the compassionate conservatism. They had large objects shoved up their butts. That was very fucking compassionate. And the people of Iraq had their home set on fire. That was extraordinarily fucking compassionate. Their power stations were blown up so they didn't have electricity to boil water, which was polluted because we blew up their fucking water treatment facilities. That was compassionate as well. In the 1990s, when we had one sanction after another on Iraq, they believe roughly 300,000 or 400,000 children were killed as a result in Iraq. That was really fucking compassionate. Yeah, so I don't know what to tell you guys. I don't know if Trump is legit or not. I don't know if he's real. The impeachment bazaar, the impeachment, I don't even know what to call it. It's almost like LARPing Watergate now. It's like everybody thinks they're Woodward and Bernstein. Every fucking senator thinks they're some kind of jackass on the fucking edge of the fucking Constitutional Republic defending something. They have no idea what they're doing. It all seems like a big fucking bullshit artist game. None of it seems real. None of it. A president of the United States has a conversation with another president or another leader. I mean, amongst crocodiles, that's pretty fucking normal, okay? And he happens to say, oh, I know there's this dude committing crimes. Yeah, investigate him. Who gives a fuck? I mean, clearly this is the stupidest thing in the world, but really, who gives a fuck? Hunter Biden has the name of a douchebag. You only name somebody Hunter if you want him to grow up to be a douchebag. So Hunter Biden is a douchebag. He's a piece of shit. He will probably not go to jail for the same reasons why Jussie Smollett will also not go to jail. So I don't know what to think of this impeachment. It's weird. Do I think it's real? I don't know. I think it's kind of weird that Epstein committed suicide and we all have forgotten about this massive pedophile scandal. It's kind of weird. There are lots and lots of people that visited Epstein's little fucking pedophile island, including people like Bill Gates. So it's weird that we're kind of moving on. Like, oh, let's just flush that story down the memory hole. Make sure anybody that's a witness to anything is dead. And let's give people the impeachment bullshit. That's a nice layer of fucking manure to pour over the other layer of fucking manure. I don't know what to tell you, folks. I have to say that Epstein was probably one of the most important federal witnesses in the last 100 years. And that compares to some of the biggest witnesses during the crackdown on organized crime in the 1960s and 70s. You can take the biggest fucking witnesses from the darkest families of Italy, and they will not compare to what Epstein, whatever the fuck his real name was. What he was a witness to not just incredible abuse of children, but to probably multiple acts of treachery and espionage. And the guy was probably a fucking double agent. And yet, he kills himself under high security watch. All the cameras in our technological future... Yeah, all you fucks who want to give these little speeches about the reliability of technology, please keep these fucking thoughts in your head. Okay? This guy is the most important federal prisoner in recent history, but his fucking cameras accidentally stop working. And you don't want to point the finger at Trump. Why? Who is the commander-in-chief? If he's not the commander-in-chief, I'll let you in a little secret. Lysander Spooner was right. Your constitution doesn't work. It was broken from the beginning. If he has no authority to do his fucking job, if literally the President of the United States doesn't have the power to keep the most important federal witness in the last 100 years from killing himself, you really have to ask yourself, what the fuck power does the president really have? Not that I give a shit, I'm a fucking anarchist. But really, you're a voter. You believe that shit works. And you probably voted for Trump if you're listening to me and you're a voter. It didn't work. The voting doesn't work. I know you want to believe it does. And you're going to vote harder this next time. You're going to vote real hard. But it's not going to work. I think a false flag is coming, and I know that people say this all the time, but I really do think one is coming. I kind of thought they were going to do something this month because, you know, the way I look at it is this. The people that make these kinds of decisions are really shitty human beings, and they love to fuck with people. So I had this idea, maybe they'll just do something on 9/11, Redux, you know, nice round numbers, who knows. It didn't happen. I'm happy with that. But if you really think we're waltzing away from a war with Iran, if you really think that's what's going on right now, I don't think you're looking at the chessboard. Saudi Arabia is in serious, serious trouble. Probably more serious trouble than most people realize. And it's entirely possible that the ruling class of Saudi Arabia is starting to eat itself, like Ouroboros. This happens when, you know, governments collapse. Everybody turns on everybody. And if this happens, if the government of Saudi Arabia collapses, that's roughly what's left of most of the conventional oil on planet Earth. And when I say conventional oil, if you don't know the difference between conventional oil and unconventional, you really need to fucking figure that shit out. Because the principal difference is this. You can make money economically off of conventional oil. We're more or less at the point where you really can't make money off of the unconventional shit. Not the prices that people can afford to pay. Which means, literally, in economic terms, there is no equilibrium price for this thing. This thing should not be produced. And yet, we produce shale oil currently at below anything that would remotely resemble an equilibrium price. That's fucking weird, folks. That's what, you know, communist countries do. Just FYI. I think a false flag is coming. And according to my own perspective, it has to be way worse than 9/11 because we're just that desensitized. So, yeah, What would be 10 times worse than 3,000 people dead? Well, 30,000 people dead. So that's something like a small nuclear weapon. And so the only question you have to ask is, what part of the continental United States do these people care the least about? Which pick a city, pick a town, pick a place they don't give a shit about, or frankly, a place that has some type of religious value or spiritual value. Because, you know, there is a general theory that these people are Satanists, and I wouldn't be surprised. But yeah, I think it's coming. Next topic, although, before I leave this, there are those of you who say, well, isn't Trump, like, trying to make peace? Well, I recall back in 2000 when George W. Bush was running, he claimed he was opposed to nation building and shit like that. That was one of his claims, that he was against nation building. He was against going around the world and stirring shit up. That turned out to be total bullshit. You may not be aware, but when FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, was running for presidency in 1940, that would be for his third term as president, you may not be aware of this little factoid, but he technically ran as an anti-war candidate. You didn't know that. Wow. You need to research this fucking shit. Yeah, anti-war candidate who essentially set up a war with Japan so he could enter World War II through the back door. Anti-war. Next topic. This next topic is one I really don't like discussing for the same reason I don't really love discussing or bringing up things like the Holocaust, because it strikes people, it kind of hits people at their center. Like, it's sort of one of these topics where people really have to evaluate what they believe is true about the world. It's way worse than the moon issue. Like, did we go to the moon? A lot of people who believe in space can admit the following, that the story around Apollo, especially the story of how we went there, but then we forgot how to do it, we destroyed how we went there, that story doesn't make a lot of fucking sense. Even for the government. It makes zero fucking sense. But the issue I want to talk about now is worse than this, because it's fundamental, it's foundational. There are people in the world today who believe that the Earth is flat. There are people in the world today who believe that the Earth is flat. And I don't know what to tell you. I have said in the past that I was cosmologically agnostic. And what that means in scientific terms is that I leave all my options open. In terms of the foundational cosmology of the universe, if anyone's going to prove they know what it is, then all they have to do is make a good fucking scientific argument, describe the nature of the universe, describe the experiment by which they prove their hypothesis, and then publish it, and then get other people to reproduce the experiment. If they can do that, then I'm certainly open to their ideas. If they can't, it's really just more bullshit, more philosophy. If your description of the cosmology is a big mathematical proof, well, guess what? You could probably develop a mathematical proof to describe almost every strange universe you could possibly imagine. If some mathematician and physicist jackass wants to claim that our universe is sitting on the cosmic edge of an infinite black hole butthole, well, fuck. Well, maybe. But how are you gonna prove that shit? But with respect to the flat Earth, there are a number of ways you can prove whether or not the Earth is flat. It's really not that difficult to do. It's kind of disturbing that at this point in human history, we have not developed a uncontroversial proof for the Earth being a sphere. Now, if you say, well, Dan, I stood at the beach one day and I saw a ship disappear over the horizon. No, what you actually saw was what's called the vanishing point. This is actually true. That old fucking wives' tale about being able to see ships go over the horizon, if you buy yourself a really powerful camera, guess what? All of a sudden, the ships take longer. So that's called the vanishing point, okay? That doesn't prove anything. It doesn't prove the Earth is a sphere. It also doesn't prove that it's, flat. Although some flat earthers would claim that they have cameras that can see distances that would technically be impossible if the Earth were a sphere, given the rate of curvature. So there's a lot of stuff about the flat Earth that's spooky. And let me add this too. In 1958, the United States signed a treaty with essentially its principal opponents in the Cold War at that time, most specifically the Soviet Union. We signed a treaty to essentially share and control. Share and control Antarctica. And this treaty essentially kept everybody out. Now, I know you're going to say, Dan, I know a guy. Sure, he's been a Mason since he's 17. He does the reverse handshake pretty fucking well. He went to Antarctica on a cruise. Listen, folks, everybody knows a guy. I don't know a guy who went to Antarctica. I don't know a gal who went to Antarctica. So, do I know the shape of Antarctica beyond what Google Maps shows me? No, I don't. Antarctica could be anything. It's weird. Almost immediately after, I believe, Admiral Byrd's first expedition, a couple of institutions were created in this country. One was called the FCC, the other was called the FAA. The FCC was a Federal Communications Commission. The FAA was the Federal Aviation Administration. Both of these institutions have a lot of control over what you could do with technology to truly prove the shape of the Earth. Now, is that proof of anything? Hell no. But it's weird. Admiral Byrd goes to Antarctica, and now we need to control fucking radios and the fucking where fucking airplanes can fly. It's weird. But again, these might be completely unrelated. I'm going to tell you something that's important because I think it's the key to this issue, and it's the key to the issue to me. If you're a listener, you know that I'm religious. And I hate this whole, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. What the fuck? I am both. I am religious in the sense that I practice a religion. It's called Christianity. And yeah, I'm also spiritual. If you need to get into the semantics of that bullshit, go fuck off, right? So I believe in God. And I believe God gave me free will. And that means I have the ability to make choices, even though there is a God. Even though God, if God wanted to, could have me live a life that would be completely determined, completely predictable. I could follow a script my whole life and do exactly as God wants me to do. And yet, for whatever reason, God prefers I make choices. Now, because of this, there are certain things that have to be true. One of which is, barring miracles, there is no real evidence, direct evidence of God. Sure, there are miracles. And if you're like me, you probably look at nature itself, at life itself, and say, well, it's kind of miraculous too, except for the shit that people fuck up. But to have free will, you cannot have what I would call the non-controversial public evidence of God. What do I mean by that? For example, let's say there was a proof for God that was as simple as 2 plus 2 equals 4. So you could literally go into the public square and show this proof, and everyone could understand it to be as true as 2 plus 2 equals 4. Now, of course, you'll always have the contrarian, even in that situation. The person will say, well, listen, yeah, 2 plus 2 equals 4, but maybe in a different mathematical universe, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. You'll always have that person, okay? But I'm talking about the vast majority of people, with a minimal level of common sense. And for those people that have a minimal level of common sense, if you could show them with the simplicity, with the obviousness of 2 plus 2 equals 4, that there is a God, then all of a sudden, their choices become different. It isn't a question of faith at that point, okay? You have literally proven to them that there's some dude in the sky that watches them 24/7, and if they fuck up, they will go to hell for eternity and be tortured. I'm not saying everybody would interpret it that way. There are people of other spiritual beliefs, but for Christians and those who are maybe atheists but sympathize, I suppose, or would head that direction, yeah, knowing that God exists in a way that 2 plus 2 equals 4, I think that would basically negate most, if not all, of your free will. Sure, you could still make choices. That's absolutely true. But now you see yourself as a prisoner in a prison. Okay? You're absolutely in a prison. No matter what the shape of it is, that's fucking irrelevant. Because with God, that prison goes wherever you go. I don't have any choices I can make but the choices God wants me to make. Another consequence of 2 plus 2 equals 4 proof of God is that people would become religious fanatics on a level you can't even imagine. I mean, it would be horrible. It would be monstrous. I know there are people who believe the earth is flat, and I gotta tell you that if there was literally a dome that you could see, that you could find the edge of, then a couple things would be true. First, there would be no God. Yeah, I'm sorry about telling you that. But if the earth was flat, if it was a big dome, then there's probably not a God. Because God would not do that. I can't imagine God creating a prison, essentially a prison universe, that you can't escape, that becomes obvious to you once you reach a certain level of technology. And probably was obvious the very moment we knew how to sail around the world. It probably became clear rather quickly. But at our scale of technology, it's now obvious. If the Earth is flat, then people in positions of power have known this for 100 years. With absolute certainty. They've known it since Admiral Byrd's first expedition, but they've known it, period. They have known if it's flat, it's flat. So I'm going to tell you that I think the reason why the Earth is not flat, the reason why I suspect that the flat Earth is probably not true, although I do sympathize, because people are lied to, okay? We're lied to about Antarctica, we're lied to about space, we're lied to about a lot of shit. So the fact that people get to a point of confusion where they believe something like the Earth is flat, I get it. I don't beat up on people for that, okay? And guess what? I hold out the possibility of being wrong. Like, I'm telling you right now, I could be wrong. What I am also saying is that from my interpretation of Christian doctrine, if the earth were flat in an obvious and provable way to everyone, then I think that would negate free will. I think at that moment you realize, sure, you're making choices, but you're making choices in a prison. Or maybe I'll put it this way. Your free will now has essentially the same meaning of the free will of some dude at a maximum security facility. That's essentially what you have, the same level of free will. And it gets worse. It gets worse because if you find that you're living in a giant dome, then you have to ask yourself, how fucking real are the people around me? Oh, you can say, yeah, Dan, you know, you can tell. Can you? Tell that to the person. Tell that to the Dan that went to Ireland in 2016 to meet the Goat King. Tell that to that guy. I'm telling you something, folks. There are a lot of people out there that seem like people. I'm not entirely sure they are people. But what I will say is this. If you find out that you're living in a giant prison cell, then why would you assume your inmates are all real? Any entity that can create a giant domed universe can probably also create human beings that aren't really people. Can create little fucking monstrosities of bullshit. Fucking fake fucking what are sometimes referred to as NPCs, non-player characters. Or non-playable. But the point is, why couldn't the Lord in heaven, if he really was just a shitty landlord who kept us in a giant fucking prison, why wouldn't he populate it with fake things? Because it's fake, right? We now know it's fake. The water's fake, the sky is fake, the clouds are fake, it's all fucking fake. The reason why we use words like real or natural is the implication that these things exist outside of God, and for atheists, exists, period. The reason why faith is hard, and faith is hard, believe me, these days faith for me is really hard. I spent most of my life as an atheist, so ask yourself, how hard is my faith in 2019? Some days it's hard as fuck. And yet, I can't imagine the Bible, for example, having any of the meaning it has if faith were easy. Think about that, folks. When you think about the flat earth, when you think about living in a giant domed fucking planet world, a big terrarium, ask yourself how that impacts faith. Because in that world, faith becomes a lot easier. Now you know with a kind of physical certainty, not only is everything fake, but that there's some dude or some entity, man, woman, maybe robot, maybe machine, that created this fucking place. And here's one more thing I need to throw the flat earth direction. If you proved that you lived on a flat earth, a big dome flat earth, why wouldn't you immediately also suspect that simulation theory is real? Because to me, the most logical explanation is not that we live in a giant dome place. That doesn't necessarily make the most sense. The next most logical conclusion is that, yeah, it's a simulation. And if you could somehow hack your way through the edge of the simulation, you might find yourself in what? Another simulation. A universe of maybe an uncountable number of simulations running in parallel. If you could somehow hack your way through the edge of the giant snow globe. The reason why I think the flat earth is probably bullshit is because I believe in God. Because if the flat earth were real, it would be too fucking obvious what was going on. It would be too easy to have faith. It would essentially mean that God is literally running experiments. Okay? Experimental animals can find their cage. Believe me. If you've never seen a fucking chimpanzee waiting to have a probe put in its brain, or a dog waiting to be gassed or killed or whatever, injected at the fucking animal shelter, they know. They may not know the way you know, but they know. They know that it's not a good place to be. They know they're in a cage. The Lord in heaven probably created a nearly infinite universe for the simple fact that he probably figured humans were crafty. It's also plausible that he created a universe that is completely empty of intelligent life except for us. Sorry, folks. That also could be true. On the other hand, if we encountered aliens, I'm not sure what that would mean. Because it's also possible that God could create a universe with aliens. Why wouldn't he? He could. He can do lots of things. These are questions. These are hard questions. If NASA comes out in the next few days and says, we found evidence of life on Mars, we found a giant turd, fine. We found the turd creature, we found the peanuts, we found the fucking corn, great. We found the turd, we found the fucking peas, you know, we found the undigested fucking beef jerky, fine. I just have to tell you, though, that there are a couple reasons why I won't necessarily believe them. One is I'm an anarchist. Ask me how much I believe the government. And oh, by the way, side topic. For all you fuckers out there that love to quote FBI uniform crime reporting statistics, please stop. Anybody with common sense who knows anything about the influence of the National Association of Realtors and other organizations, including banks, knows that these statistics are bullshit. That local police will do everything they can to hide violent crime, even in the most violent cities. And if you live in a nice neighborhood, the likelihood that a violent crime from your neighborhood will show up in statistics is almost zero. Oh yeah, why? Property taxes, you stupid fuck. It turns out that the value of property goes down if lots of people start getting killed. So no, I don't believe government statistics. If you quote me a government number, the first question I ask is, what does the crocodile want here? You know, and like I say in the past, if I say crocodile, you say government. What does the crocodile want? If it's an unemployment number, I know the crocodile wants it low. If it's GDP, the crocodile wants it high. It's not that fucking complicated. If it has to do with property taxes, like, for example, lots of rapes and murders in your neighborhood, the crocodile wants it low. If it has to do with, you know, I don't know, minority kids going to Harvard, the crocodile will make up numbers. I think the flat earth is bullshit for the simple fact that I believe in God, but I also think that people who believe in the flat earth, a lot of them are genuine people. They are not necessarily crackpots. Some of them make very intelligent arguments, and it's one of the reasons why I bring it up, because I don't think it's an issue that we should simply poo-poo. It's not like, you know, Holocaust denial. Holocaust denial is a tough fucking road to hoe. I don't know how people go down that road. Because even if it were true, I think all the fucking evidence has been destroyed. One way or the other. There is no good evidence one way or the other. There really isn't. But with respect to the flat earth, this is something that can be proven or disproven at any time if a person has enough money. Really, it's just a question of money. If you have enough money, this is something you can prove to yourself. One way or the other. I really believe this. Next topic. Have you ever been to Slab City? Now, there's a movie called Into the Wild, and full disclosure, I've not seen that movie. A friend of mine who was visiting mentioned it, and it was like, have you seen Into the Wild? And I've seen a lot of movies. I tend to eschew films where I think there's some type of weird propaganda message. I'm very sensitive to certain titles. If I hear a title, I know I'm going to get fed some kind of bullshit. Even if it's just some sort of culturally normative bullshit. Like, for example, Steel Magnolias. I know I'm going to see some tearjerker about some socially confusing situation involving friends of somebody who's dying or not dying. It's all some kind of bullshit to me. So yeah, I didn't see Into the Wild because frankly, I had a feeling I would see a movie that was going to try to sell me some type of crap. You know, beyond just entertainment. I want to go see a movie that entertains me. In general, I don't like to see Soviet realism. But I'm not saying that's what it was. It probably was a really good movie. Into the Wild. Probably was, and probably I should see it. My friend was pretty fucking adamant about it being a good movie. But in the movie, he mentioned to me there was a place called Slab City. And I did look it up. It's a real place. In fact, let me bring up the information on it right now. Let's go down to Slab City. Where the girls smoke crack. And the lives are shitty. Come on and take me down, down, down. Welcome down to Slab City, California. Slab City, California. Yeah. It's in the Sonoran Desert. I was told it's not too far from the Salton Sea. Which is kind of basically becoming a giant toxic zone. But yeah, Slab City. That it's a place where you can go and live out a life of some type of outlaw. It just looks like a place nobody wants. Filled with people nobody wants. And yet, when you think about the frontier, let's think about the frontier for a second. The frontier, and when I say the frontier, if you've studied history, throughout history, cultures have had frontiers, okay? The frontier is not special to America. If you lived in ancient Greece, okay, in, let's say, the 5th century BC, the frontier would have been what we call Sicily today. Oh, you didn't know that. You didn't know that Greeks would sail from Athens, sail from the Hellas, and settle in Sicily. They would. Okay? Archimedes, a Greek, was killed by a Roman soldier during, I believe, the Second Punic War. Yeah, and he was in Syracuse, I think. Was he? Yeah. Anyways, he was in Sicily. The frontier has always been a place for freaks. It's always been a place for people who don't fit in. So when you think about some place like Slab City, and you say to yourself, oh, here's a place for the human trash of society, well, folks, that's what the frontier used to be for. Okay, the people that didn't fit in, the young men that could not find women, the widows that couldn't find husbands, the people that were just considered, you know, not acceptable, the orphans and the renegades and the homeless, all the fucking garbage, according to civil society, they went to the frontier. Now, of course, other people went to the frontier too. Other people who went there to make a name for themselves. But bluntly speaking, folks, throughout history, people went to the frontier because they were running from something. Very seldom was it about running to something. Frederick Jackson Turner, who is regarded, I think, still, although in today's culture, probably maybe not, but Frederick Jackson Turner, when I was in graduate school, was considered one of the important historians of the last few hundred years, specifically important to American history because Frederick Jackson Turner kind of drew a line. He said, you can talk about American history before the closing of the frontier, which happened roughly 100 years ago, and you can talk about American history after, but they're really very different. The histories are different. Now, I'm not going to say he's right or wrong, but I will tell you is this. A big part of our history up until 100 years ago was about people taking advantage of natural resources, of terrain that was still very wild, very dangerous. That's just not true any longer. And it might not be true again for a very long time. Unless, of course, we somehow get off this planet, off the flat earth, or off the sphere, I don't give a fuck. Or find the edge of the simulation and break on through to the other side, like the doors say, open the doors of awareness. Yeah, I don't know. Slab City. This friend of mine mentioned it because he was saying, you know, Dan, why don't you go to Slab City? Why don't we find a place like this? And it was joking. Of course, we were joking. But here's the thing. I went looking for Slab City, quote unquote, several years ago. I didn't go looking for the Slab City. I went looking for a Slab City. A place I could go where I could eke out an existence and be as separate from the crocodile and the crocodile worshippers, the voters, the people who, every 2 years, you guys, every 2 years, you guys are going crazy about your representatives to the crocodile, thinking it makes a difference. It drives me fucking crazy. It's insane. It does not work. So I was hoping to find my own personal Slab City, where people probably didn't vote, where probably there wasn't a mayor. But even if those places exist, folks, they only exist because nobody gives a shit about them. It's like Christiania in Denmark, okay? I've never been there, but I've heard of the legend. It's kind of its own thing. It used to be some type of a sanitarium or prison or some type of weird prison hospital sanitarium. A bunch of fucking hippie potheads take it over, and now it's its own magical fucking kingdom. That's in fucking Denmark. And then there's that weird-ass fucking land. I don't know if it's called Liberland or whatever, but that chunk of fucking island in the middle of that fucking river. I think it's in Czechoslovakia. Maybe it's in Poland or Romania. It's called Liberland, I think. The point is, there's lots of these places that the crocodile doesn't give a fuck about. You know, it really doesn't. Until it does, though. Until it does. I was reading recently. Oh, here's another life flight. I don't know if you're hearing that. Lot of separate random topic. A lot of fucking trauma helicopters flying over my fucking location the last couple days. Keep in mind, these helicopters are very expensive. I've used to do the fucking medical billing shit, so I know the G-codes for these fuckers. They are not cheap. They weren't cheap 10 years ago. I doubt the price has gone down. So when you hear a lot of fucking expensive helicopters flying over your head, delivering people to the level 1 trauma center, yeah, that might mean a lot of people are having strokes and heart attacks. And when a lot of people are having strokes and heart attacks and the flight path looks east to west, meaning from the richer parts of King County to the poorer parts, or specifically the level 1 trauma center, then it sort of implies potentially, logically, that the people having the strokes, the heart attacks, the aneurysms, the embolisms, yeah, they're people at a high level. And I'll even go further. The people that live in the city don't take the helicopter. They take the fucking ambulance. There is no Slab City, people. The only Slab City I know of is the Slab City that those helicopters are taking some people to right now. If you go to Harborview Medical Center, you'll find a Slab City. You'll find a slab city. It's on the lowest floor in the building. The name of this slab city is Morgue. That's French for places where there are lots of dead bodies. Maybe it's pronounced morgue, but it sounds more elegante if you say morgue. Yeah, there's their slab city. On the slab, in the morgue. Those helicopters are heading to Slab City. Anywho, I don't know if this was a long podcast or a short podcast. I'm of the mind that it's a podcast that needs to end. I won't contend that this was a good podcast or that I deserve any credit. But what I will say is this before I go, and I'm trying to say this every once in a while more often than not. If you enjoy my podcast, on my start page for SoundCloud, there is a link to Venmo. Feel free to donate some money if you want to, but only if you have the money, only if you feel like you got value from this, and only if there's nobody else in your life that needs it more than me. If anyone else needs help, help them first. Put on your oxygen mask first, then help the person next to you. And if that problem is solved in your life and you're literally looking for places to burn money, I won't lie. I can use your cash. For hookers, for blow, to rent a car to travel to the edge of the simulation. I believe I've discovered the secret to the simulation. When I was in high school, some kid mentioned to me the name of a city in Washington State called Cosmopolis. I'm gonna rent a car tomorrow. I'm gonna drive to Cosmopolis. Yes, the secret to the simulation, and this is why you can send me Venmo money. If you live in Washington State, the secret to the simulation is in Cosmopolis. It has always been in Cosmopolis. If you rent a car or drive a car or try to take a car to Cosmopolis, you never get there. You always get pushed away. There's always road construction. There's always some dude that says, stay away. There's always some river that's washed out a bridge. There's always some swamp that showed up out of nowhere. You can't get to Cosmopolis. Not from here. That's what the crazy dude says at the diner. So don't try going to Cosmopolis, buddy. There ain't nothing there but the nightmare of the eternal understanding that there's nowhere to go but up.